Baron Serrano called up the Fleet Personnel Locator database and looked up Esme. He'd done this at every station and kept track of her progress after they parted. He wondered if she'd done the same for him. He still didn't know why she'd been given new orders and sent all the way over to Sector 3. Luckily, Suiza was such an unusual surname that she was easy to find.
Entry not found. No personnel surnamed Suiza located. Check spelling and repeat search? That makes no sense.
She'd been in the system only 2 weeks before. He ran through the available options on the system, but the searches all came up the same until he tried separated or retired.
Suiza, Esme, most recent rank 03, most recent assignment, separated by order of Admiral Serrano? Separation affected Trinidad.
Baron stared at the date. 9 days ago. Halfway across Familia's space. Rage blinded him to the rest of the screen. Admiral Serrano, his own grandmother, had taken revenge on Esme, had kicked her out of the service she loved, and at a time when they needed every good officer.
Grandmother? She double-crossed us. Backstabbed us, and I'll...
Baron's thoughts steadied. He was a Jig, and his grandmother was an Admiral Major. He could be angry, he could hate her all he wanted, but he was a fleet officer with a war on, and trying to quarrel with her would help none of them.
Where is Esme? What is she doing?
He could imagine her coming, trying to find him and let him know, or going somewhere to do something that he couldn't quite imagine.
Rockhouse Major to protest to fleet headquarters? To Altiplano, to settle down as land bride? No.
Perhaps to find evidence that his grandmother's accusation about Suiza treachery was false. In the meantime, he had his duty, and even if his grandmother could so far forget hers as to inject personal vengeance into a real emergency, he wouldn't. As a Jig aboard a ship headed for combat, he had plenty of duties, more than enough to keep him busy. In the junior officer's mess, the ensigns and other Jigs looked up as he entered. They would not have heard about Esme. That expression must mean something else.
Have you heard anything, Baron?
That was Cossie Forlan, who had been about halfway down his class at the academy.
About the mutiny? No.
I just thought, well, with all your relatives and...
Luca Tavernos glanced at the entrance.
I wondered about the others. It's scary, nobody knowing whom to trust.
Like despite. How do we know who the...
Three lieutenants came in, and Lieutenant Marcian took the head of the table. Marcian glanced at the juniors, his expression unreadable. Then he pointed his fork at Cossie.
At least we know you aren't part of any conspiracy, Jig Forlan. Conspirators know better than to say things with the doors open. Be glad your specialty isn't intelligence.
Cossie reddened, but applied himself to his dinner.
So, Baron, does your family network give you anything useful?
No, sir. You know the communications aren't exactly open.
And do you have any doubts about the loyalty of any personnel on this ship?
No, sir, but if I did, I would report it to the proper authorities.
I'm sure you would. You Serranos are a thorough bunch. What's your assessment of the mutineers' tactics?
From the little I know, sir. I suspected they concentrated on the ships they stole, to make that strike on Copper Mountain. I'd be surprised if there were many left scattered on other ships.
You're assuming fairly small numbers to start with.
Smaller than the loyal contingent, yes, sir.
Interesting. I know a lot of people who were really upset with the changes Consuline imposed, starting with the new Minister of Defense.
Yes, sir, but not mutinous. Politicians come and go, but the fleet remains.
That was my reading also. But I wanted the legendary Serrano opinion.
Why do you think the mutineers really want? Do you think it was Consuline's leadership that drove them to it, or what?
I don't know. I'm not one of them, after all, and imputing motives to enemies is a risky business. I'd be more inclined to think they took advantage of the absence of senior officers who were put on inactive status because of the rejuvenation issue. Your grandmother was caught in that, wasn't she, Baron?
Yes, sir.
My guess is that in the command confusion that followed chopping off at least half the flag rank, they were able to make moves that might have taken a lot longer otherwise. Personnel was going crazy trying to find people to fill billets suddenly open. Promotion boards were meeting around the clock.
How'd you know that?
I was on the staff rotation at headquarters. Admiral Stearns to start with. Then when she was made inactive, it was her replacement, Admiral Rollenby. I'd be there yet except for the mutiny shuffled assignments yet again. Did you ever know Admiral Stearns, Baron? She said she knew your grandmother.
No, sir. The Admiral had a lot of friends at headquarters.
So I gathered. Apparently, she'd also been poking around the rejuvenation problem on her own. She and Admiral Stearns were on a study group of some kind.
Did you ever hear what happened with that, Lieutenant?
Consoline killed the study. It reflected badly on its sept, of course, since it's very likely it was their drugs that caused the problem. But without funding for research or treatment, a lot of people were in a pretty hopeless situation. There are times I find it difficult to stay as apolitical as regulations demand.
That effectively ended the topic at dinner, and Baron finished his meal with nothing more than a polite request to pass the rolls. After the meal, Baron found his mind ticking over more calmly as he tried to figure out why someone had hounded Esme out of the service now. The first word they'd had back from their families had been disapproving, but not explosive. More evidence of Sweeza perfidy could have shown up, but he didn't believe it. Serrano tempers blew quickly, and, in the absence of further hostile action, subsided almost as quickly. His grandmother had all the arrogance of flag rank, but she had always been fair.
As far as I know.
And he had to admit to himself he didn't know her as well as he might. And the entry had said Admiral Serrano. But his grandmother wasn't the only Admiral Serrano. Hadn't been even before the current crisis that brought all the flag ranks back to duty. He wasn't sure the entry had even said which Admiral Serrano. He hadn't really paid attention. And he couldn't now.
I hope this is another one of the captain's drills.
He double-timed through one corridor, slid down a ladder, and made it to his assigned station well within the time limit. The senior rating handed him the comp.
Ackman, Aver, Batenkin.
When the senior lieutenant came around, Baron had his section ready for inspection, lockers open and pea suits in hand. The lieutenant received Baron's report and examined the pea suits as if he hadn't inspected them the day before. Relieved the drill was over, Baron stepped into the corridor. Combat, from the bowels of a cruiser, was either boring or fatal. Baron had been told that from the academy on up. He hoped very hard for boring. Baron had a damage assessment team, which he was in nominal charge of, thanks to the shortage of senior NCOs. That due, of course, to the mutiny and the failed rejuvenations. Having been taught from the cradle that junior officers are inevitably less expert than the NCOs they command, he had a good relationship with the petty officer assigned to his section, a man with solid qualifications in damage assessment and damage control. For the next 3 hours, his team had no damage to assess. They checked and reported compartment temperatures, flow rates in various pipes, and a host of other readings that Baron knew were important, but which offered no clue at all to what was going on outside. The artificial gravity didn't fluctuate, the lights didn't flicker, nothing at all happened. When the stand-down came, Baron made his final report to the damage control officer and returned to his regular duties. He was trying to read up on damage assessment and damage control. The junior officer's course for command track had nothing about it, and he found it heavy going. One of the few remaining master chiefs made an effort to be helpful.
That's not that hard, sir. Basically, you've got stuff in pipes and stuff in wires, plus, of course, your air and gravity.
It's all the different kinds of stuff in the pipes. And it says here that compartments may be filled with smoke or steam or...
Most likely water vapor condensation, if there's a pressure loss.
So how are we supposed to know which pipe is which if we can't see it?
Well, now, that's why you're supposed to know your section from the frames out. Of course, if they need you somewhere else.
Chief, have you ever been in a ship that was badly damaged?
Once from enemy action, back in the first Patchcock mess, and once from an idiot coming back from leave and showing off. He managed to knock a hole in the hydraulic line down in the shuttle bay. He'd have been up for discipline, except leak went right through him.
A leak?
High pressure line, son. See, he'd brought back a needler his cousin gave him, which was against regs, of course. And he hadn't checked the ammunition that came with it, which was, we found later, the heaviest his cousin could buy. His cousin figured somebody on a cruiser needed something that could make holes in the hull, apparently. Well, anyway, this fool just had to show it to a buddy of his, and they got playing around, and sure enough, ping, right through the lift line. Out came a jet, drilled right through him. Down came the shuttle out of the deck a good bit harder than it should, and that popped two tires. A piece of one hit another guy in the head, and another piece hit a fella holding a torch. Couldn't blame him for dropping it when his arm was broke. But the torch caught something on fire. So then we had a fire and a hydraulic leak. And since the hydraulic fluid was vaporized by coming out at such a pressure, what do you think happened?
It blew up.
Bingo. Old Harkness, that was, who'd survived two full-scale engagements with Benignity battle groups. And because of one stupid idiot, she was scrap. Explosion and shuttle maintenance. But that was only the beginning. See, in those old cruisers, all the maintenance functions were clustered for efficiency. Now, that included the main nexi for electrical. But because of that, we didn't just have one fire or one explosion. Finally, the captain had us cut away the weapon storage and jettison the whole thing, or we might have gone up like everyone else. We fought those fires for over 28 hours, and at the end, we had barely enough life support for the remaining live crew. Over 300 dead, ship completely disabled. They had to take us off in pea suits, transfer us to another ship.
Hydraulic fluid? I didn't know it would burn.
Well, they've tried and tried to get something that'll work better and be less flammable, but so far, if you vaporize it and light it, it'll go up. And don't forget, it'll slice you like a laser scalpel. Now, the other, that wasn't so bad. Hull breach, but a cold one. Heavy missile got through, but it misfired. A bit ticklish getting it out, and the poor fellas in there died, but not nearly as bad. The only real problem was a youngster who wanted a souvenir and was working away at the fusing access so he could get it off and hide it in his locker before we got there. Old Master Chief Meharry just about took his head off then and there. Could have blown us all up, he could.
The Master Chief handed a cube to Baron.
Now here, this is the best data cube course we have. You learn most from the trouble you live through, but that cube will take you a bit farther than the others.
Thanks.
Baron resolved to spend every spare moment with it. He would know everything about troop deck, from the hull to the plumbing.